The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Hi, everybody. I'm David Snyder. I'm the director of the Business Law Program. And this is just a very informal orientation, which we have every year. Generally, we have it in the fall. But we discovered over the last couple of years that in the fall, a lot of people don't manage to go. They're so busy. It's so new. And then a fair amount of people who actually go, it's such early days in 1L year, such an out-of-body experience. They have only the vaguest recollection of whether they even went. So we thought we would try holding this in the spring, because the idea of it is to let you know that there is a business law program, that there is just a tremendous wealth of opportunity in business law at WCL. And now you're sort of into the groove, you know what law school is about, and some of you are probably thinking, what comes next? How do things work? So we have a number of faculty who are going to be available to talk, and we'll just give you 2, 3, 4, most 5 minutes from each of us about various pieces of different programs that go on here related to business law. We have Susan Bennett and Nancy Abramowitz, who will talk about clinics. We have Horacio Guerra-Naon, who will speak about the Center for International Commercial Arbitration. We have Meredith Jacob, who will speak about the intellectual property program. We have Ken Anderson, who will tell us about some general corporate finance and corporate stuff, if we're lucky. Coming late will be Professor Perry Wallace, who can tell you about the JD MBA program. And then we have a number of students from different student organizations who will be able to say a couple of minutes worth of stuff about what they do. So I just want to hold myself to the same time limit and also speak extremely briefly. Mainly, I just want you to see that where you can get some more information and see what the business law, a little bit about what the business law program is about. So if you go to the WCL website, this is just the regular WCL website, and if you type in after that slash business, it'll get you to our website, which, by the way, is soon going to be new and improved. Technology has told me that for Valentine's Day, which is tomorrow, they're giving me a revamped website. I don't think it'll be up tomorrow, but I am going to see the director of tomorrow.
That's tips or a gift. I
am really touched. I set the deadline. I figured it would be memorable. But so anyway, the other thing to do, if you go to programs right here, the programs are listed in order of importance. We're first. And this gets you into our website. And admittedly, it's not that sexy a website. We're going to work on that part. I have Abercrombie models lined up. But before we get to that, there's all kinds of great substance here. You can look at some of the stuff that's gone on before. This is our annual report from last year. You can see just all kinds of different sorts of things. But what I particularly want to highlight for you is the really extraordinarily extensive curriculum in business law here. We have, roughly speaking, 150 courses in and related to business law that we spent a long time organizing by real practice group. Like, when you go out in the real world, how do law firms and the government divide these things up? And we've sort of organized all these courses. They don't exist in the catalog this way. They're very hard to find, but you can just browse through here and see whether you're interested in corporate and securities or commercial or bankruptcy or tax or international or whatever. You can browse through and see it. Today is not the day that we talk about what courses you should take when. We have a separate session on that, and we'll go through some of this stuff then. I just wanted you to see, wow, if you're interested in business law, there are few places that you can take choose from such a vast array of courses. You only get to choose like 10 or 15 courses for all the law school, so it's actually pretty tough to choose among all of these. But anyway, tremendous opportunities here. With that, I'm going to stop talking and turn it over to Professors Bennett and Abramowitz, because they have a clinical meeting that they have to go to, so they're going to go first, and they may not be able to stick around, but they'll let you know about how to get in touch with them. So.
Okay, great. Thank you, Professor Snyder. Good afternoon. I can now say it's afternoon. I'm Susan Bennett, and I'm a professor here, and I'm also the director of the Community Economic Development Law Clinic. And there are a couple of things that Professor Abramowitz is director of the low-income Taxpayers Clinic, and we're each going to talk a little bit about the clinics that we know the best, our own clinics, but I want to say a few words generally about the experiential learning opportunities that are available to you at WCL, of which clinics is one. You should not leave this building, you should not graduate, before you've had an opportunity to work with a lawyer in a field that you're interested in. You know, this part of the country is remarkable for the opportunities it offers for externships with all sorts of agencies, regulatory and other, well, all agencies are regulatory, that deal hands-on directly with the stuff of business law. So we have externships, we also have clinical programs, we have other offerings that either put you in the role of being a lawyer yourself or have you work with lawyers to see what they do day in, day out. For an opportunity to learn about the broad stretch of experiential opportunities at WCL, there is a meeting tomorrow at 4. I don't know the room, but I think it's probably on the webpage, in which the directors of externships, clinics, everyone who offers something in the way of experiential learning will be present to do kind of like a panel discussion, a briefing on everything it is that they offer. So I urge you to attend that. There is the general meeting for introduction to the clinical program on Monday, February 20th, so that's a week from today, from 4 to 6 p.m., I believe in room 602. There's going to be a lot of stuff on the web about the clinical programs and our recruitment and application season, which starts next Monday. Please avail yourself of this information, because if you're 1L, you've got 2 more years to think about how experiential learning and the clinics will fit into your curriculum. There's no time to start, no better time to start than now. If you're 2L, and I see some of you I know here, you got next year to think about this, and it is important to think about what you need to do to apply. So briefly, the Community Development Clinic, the one that I know, is the one that's often spoken about frequently in connection with business law topics, because our clients are small businesses, nonprofit organizations, and the practice of law that we do for them is what's called transactional law. Our focus is not litigation. Our focus is drafting, counseling, advising, negotiating, doing contracts. We work with young organizations that need to decide what kind of entity they're going to be, and if you're a 1L, this may mean very little to you right now, but whether you're going to be a nonprofit, a for-profit, a B corporation, an L3C, how they're going to get their money and how they're going to organize themselves. This is something that small organizations need advice on and can't afford to pay a lawyer for. So those are the groups that we provide legal assistance to, and if you're in our clinic doing this, you are the lawyer for small community-based organizations providing this sort of critical advice. That's all. My office is room 436. I'm on the web if anybody wants on the web. I'm probably on the web. You can find my email address. It's Susan Bennett, sbennett@wcl.american.edu, if you want to contact me. And please, we hope to see you, if at all possible, tomorrow afternoon at 4 and next Monday at 4. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nancy Lucy Abramowitz, and I direct our tax clinic at WCL. It's one of the first of its kind in the country. It's in its 21st year. And we have a lot in common with our general clinical program. We have a lot in common with the business law program. And what I wanted to talk just a couple of minutes about is where they intersect. Our client base is not Xerox, IBM, and those types. Our client base are poor people. And specifically tax provisions that are unique to poor people. However, the process that one learns and the representation one undertakes in the clinic involves the exact same research tools, skills-based lawyering, and procedure, court procedure, administrative procedure one would use if they were actually representing Xerox or IBM in a tax matter. So it's an opportunity to do good and to help those that can't afford to help themselves while also learning an awful lot about the tax world in which one may choose to go forward and practice. By the same token, it's also any of our clinical programs or opportunities to develop lawyering skills that are useful to you, whether or not you choose business law or some other path. And the only other thing I want to share with you is I sort of have a connect the dots view of the world, and I don't see it quite so business law, this, that, the other thing. If somebody is thinking about business law, they need to understand employment law, health law, lots of other things, and that will be more of a subject matter for the academic advising session. And by the same token, those of you who want to do well and take care of human rights issues and labor law issues and take care of the downtrodden, there's no way you can do that without understanding how the system, and the system being the governmental system, the corporate system, how all of that works. So I urge all of you to think about connecting the dots and come visit if you want to talk about clinic. Thank you.
Thanks very much. So one thing I want to underline, and I have a feeling I don't really need to do it for this group, but we have a lot of people at WCL who are very interested in human rights and public international law, and you know, some of you think, you know, I want to change the world. I maybe even want to save the world. That's a great thing. What many people come to understand is business law is a surprisingly large part of that for many people. So if you fall in that category, there's a lot in this program that can do you good. So Horacio, I'm going to, Professor Grigera Marlin will speak about the International Commercial Arbitration Clinic. I'll get this up.
Well, thank you. I am Grigera Marlin, the director of the Center of International Commercial Arbitration at WCL. We are talking about business law. The natural mechanism for resolving international business law disputes is international commercial arbitration. So that if you're interested in business law and dispute resolution, please come to us. There is no college of law or law school in the USA which offers as much as we do in the area of international commercial arbitration. I teach together with Professor Frutos twice a year a general course of international commercial arbitration. It is a 3-credit course. In addition, other professors teach a course on investment arbitration and the bilateral investment protection treaties, and a course on practical skills in international commercial arbitration. In addition to that, the Center of International Commercial Arbitration, of which I am the director, offers different programs along the year that might be of interest to you. In the summer, for 2 weeks, we offer 7 courses on international commercial arbitration, 1-credit courses, that include, for those who are Spanish speakers, a saga of 3 connected courses along 3 weeks, which provides you with a diploma in international commercial arbitration. In addition to that, the Washington College of Law, as you know, has an LLM program, International Legal Studies program, and you can enroll yourselves for an LLM specialized in international commercial arbitration, in which you get a certificate, a special certificate indicating that you have chosen that specialization. In addition to that, every year, either in September or October, we offer a 3-day mock arbitration course under joint sponsorship of the International Chamber of Commerce, the International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes of the World Bank, and the American Arbitration Association. Each year, we organize our mock case in connection with a different industry or economic activity, and the mock case is conducted under a different set of arbitration rules. And there are many other things that we do. I have brought with me some brochures that give you an idea of what we do. Professor Snyder has already shown him his very elegant and exhaustive website, and there is a link in that website to our website, the website of the Center of International Commercial Arbitration. In addition, should you have specific questions, send an email to Ms. Susana Castiglione. Her email is Marta, M as in mother, A as in Albert, R as in Robert, T as in tower, A as in Albert, at iucl.american.edu. She will be able to give you more detailed information about our programs and about things that are in the making that maybe are not yet on our website or not reflecting the brochures, but are a part of what we do. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Horacio. Meredith?
Hi, everyone. I'm Meredith Jacob. I'm the assistant director of the Program on Intellectual Property and Information Justice. I'm also a 2008 graduate, so if you have questions about the process, you can feel free to ask me those, too. As I think other people have said, the business law program is not just strictly the business law classes, and we think that intellectual property is an important part of that. And the first thing I want to clear up is that you don't need any sort of technical background to take intellectual property classes. Every year we get questions of, you know, I wasn't an engineer, can I still take IP? And the answer is we have very few engineers on our IP faculty. So that's not going to be a problem. You know, copyright, trademark, patents, a large spectrum, you don't need to be technically educated for any of it. How many people here are taking the IP intro? Anybody? Couple? So that's a great way to get started if you're doing that. But if you haven't had the opportunity to take the IP intro, we also offer some summer session classes similar to those that you just heard about that let you get a taste of intellectual property. It's 4 classes here in DC and then 2 classes in Geneva. You don't have to do both parts, but you can if you want to. The classes in DC offer a brief introduction to the international intellectual property system and then some specific parts like IP and sustainable development and tech licensing. In addition to our summer session, if you have any interest in intellectual property, you should sign up for the IPLS listserv. It's the IP student group. It's a pretty tightly moderated list, so it's only 1 or 2 emails a week. It's not one you'll get a ton of traffic on. I have a half-page flyer up here, which will show you how to sign up for that, as well as how to get specific information on 2 other upcoming things, the summer session and then our patent program. So we're doing a specific series of patent advising classes sessions this spring, talking about some patent-related deadlines that are coming up. One is a Loyola University has a patent interview process, and if you're interested in doing that, the deadline for that is March 5th, and so we'll be talking about how you could do that. And then we'll also be talking about working at the PTO in the summers. The PTO is hiring a ton of people, and they do have paid summer work, and I think you're eligible as a 1L, so it's a really interesting opportunity to get summer jobs as a 1L and get into the government there. And then the last thing is talking to people about what you need to know if you're interested in taking the patent bar. It's not as easy to figure out as you might think. There's a couple different ways to become eligible, and we'll have a session to talk about that. Finally, I do want to mention there's an IP clinic in addition to the other clinics you've heard about. It's a full-year clinic, and you can find out more about that in the clinic advising sessions. And then finally, trying to get this into my 5 minutes, PIDGIP, my organization, does hire a number of program deans fellows who get the opportunity to do a lot of research and legal writing that I think has been really helpful to our graduates, having IP-specific writing samples so that you're not just applying for jobs with your rhetoric memo, which is a great place to start, but as you move on, having some writing so you can apply with a field-specific writing sample is really great. So, I know that was quick, but here's a half sheet if you want to sign up to get information on the IPLS list generally, on the patent advising, or on the summer session, and here are my cards if you have any questions. Thanks.
Thank you. So, before we move on to the student groups, let me talk to you for just a moment about eating. We provided pizza. I understand that's required. I'm sorry we couldn't have something a little better than that. I want to talk about better food because I know a law school like Napoleon's army travels on its stomach. when you're in Maine, you should go to the docks and get the lobster. It's the best lobster. And if you're in Paris, you should try high French cooking, haute cuisine. It's Paris, right? That's your chance. Okay. Law school's not that different. Maybe a little. Anywhere that you are is going to have some really special opportunities. At WCL, there are a few things that are really extraordinary. One is that we're in Washington. I know a lot of you chose WCL because we're in Washington, and that opens up a tremendous amount of opportunities. We can talk about some of those in the curricular advising session, where you can get out into some of the government agencies as part of your curricular work and learn about that. But the stuff that you've heard about today are some of the extraordinary opportunities here. So Sean sent me, I don't remember what the ranking is for the IP program, but it's like top 15 or something in the country in IP. International commercial arbitration is not something I think, so far as I know, that's ranked. But I suspect if you were to ask people where you could, if you want to study international commercial arbitration, what is the number one place in the country? My guess is it's us. As far as I know, there's only one place that's a close competitor, maybe. So this is amazing. I'll tell you, when I go to the events that the Center for International Commercial Arbitration puts on, I cannot believe who's there. These are the top people in the world. Washington people, yeah, but also people coming in from all over the place, from London, from Switzerland. It's amazing. It's an incredible opportunity. The clinical programs, that is ranked, and I think the only debate is whether we're number one or number two, and I will admit there's a school that seems to be ranked number one other than us, and we seem to sometimes be ranked number two instead of number one, but close enough, and they don't measure right? However you count it, these are amazing opportunities, and they're here. In business law, there's a lot to do here, a lot to take advantage of. Professor Anderson, is there anything you want to add before we go to the student groups?
No, I think you've covered. Maybe there are questions that come up.
Okay, we'll have time for a Q&A at the end, but now I'm going to turn it over to Keely McCarty, who's the Dean's Fellow for the Business Law Program, and we'll hear from some of the student groups, and then Professor Wallace is hoping to come a little bit later so he can talk about the JD-MBA.
Hi, guys. As Professor Snyder said, I'm the Dean's Fellow for the Business Law Program, which I think Professor Snyder talked about what we do. I help him. I help gather the student organizations together and make sure that we're sort of a cohesive force and everyone's on the same page. But we have a lot of opportunities here, and we even have a new society that started this year, which you'll hear about. So first, I wanted to go to the Business Law Review, which just transitioned from a brief into a full-fledged journal, and Cameron Chong is going to tell us a little bit about that.
Great. Afternoon, guys. My name is Cameron Chong. I'm the executive editor for the Business Law Review. Also here is April Sutton, who's our editor-in-chief, but he'll be speaking on something different in a moment. So how many of you are 1Ls? Everyone? Okay. So The Business Law Review is one of the five journals that we have available here at WCL, which you are eligible to try to write onto via the Spring Write-On competition, which starts in a few weeks. So if you have any interest in writing onto journal or anything like that, you guys have mandatory meetings that are applicable to all of the journals. It's the same process no matter what. But the Business Law Review, how we like to distinguish ourselves, is basically that we can cover the gamut of any article or comments or anything that is business related. So as I think a lot of the professors have been talking about, you know, we have pieces on health law, we have pieces on human rights development, we have pieces on international trade, corporate, tax, anything you can think of that's related to business, we have the ability to publish or to expound upon. We also host a symposium every year, as do all the other journals. Last year, our symposium was on the financial regulation after Dodd-Frank. We had one of the commissioners from the Financial Inquiry Commission come in and speak. She was our keynote speaker. She talked a lot about basically what led to the financial crisis, and that's hugely topical. It's big in D.C. It's big everywhere. So having that opportunity to be able to speak with her and to have her acknowledge all the things that, you know, led to this huge event that has pretty much defined a generation of business was a great opportunity, which the BLR afforded. This year we're going to be switching gears a little and talking about the business side of nonprofits. We're talking about B-side corporations, B-corporations, and that will be held in April. So for anyone who is interested in business, or even anything tangentially related to business that you can clearly see runs, you know, through everything, you know, consider ranking BLR as one of your choices for short write-on. You can get more information about that kind of stuff on February 28th and 29th, which are your mandatory orientations. So go out to that, think about it. We're also hosting all five journals a orientation, tea and cookies reception for all of the journals this Wednesday at 12 o'clock. So come out to that. It'll be a much more informal gathering where each of the journals will talk about what we focus on, what your, you know, requirements are. So come out to that, and yeah, that's BLR.
Cameron, can I put you on the spot to talk about ITILS also?
Certainly.
So we all have our toes in everything, I guess, because we like to get involved. So Cameron's also a very active member and competitor with the You're on the e-board too?
I'm on the e-board.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. For International Trade Investment Law Society, which we competed in a competition last year together for that society. So yeah.
Just as what Keely said, everyone's got their toes in pretty much everything. I worked for PGIP for a year with Meredith. I took some international commercial arbitration courses over the summer. So you get a lot of exposure to WCL or through WCL to pretty much every facet of business, which is really cool. But my personal business track is in international trade, so I am a member and e-board member of the International Trade and Investment Law Society, which discusses exactly that, international trade and investment in Washington, D.C. and around the world. So as part of the society, we like to create events for students to meet with practitioners, to get a chance to learn about what international trade is, how to get involved with it. And we also take part in what Keely was mentioning, the ELSA WTO Moot Court competition. So for anyone who is interested in moot court and the WTO, or even just getting some, you know, oral advocacy practice, each year at the beginning of the year, 2Ls and 3Ls are eligible to participate in the moot court competition. You have to have either taken part in the Paris, London, Brussels summer abroad, the DC Geneva study abroad, or you have to be taking International Trade 1 in fall semester. And it's basically, you know, a number of students, I think 10 to 12 students participate in the first semester to try and you know, you're given a problem through the European Law Student Association that focuses on the WTO dispute that they make up. And then we have a survivor-style oral competition in the fall semester, and then from those 12 or 10, four go on to compete at the North American regional round, which last year we hosted and this year we are again hosting. I believe we're also hosting the South American round here this year, which is interesting. And so it affords a great opportunity. One, you work directly with coaches who are practitioners in the trade field. Two, you get to work on your oral advocacy skills. And three, if you're lucky, you get to compete in North America and then go on to the international round in Geneva, which Keely and I had the opportunity to do last year. So that's just one of the options, you know, things that you have available through ITILS. We also have a Distinguished Alumni Dinner, which has a practitioner-student ratio of 3-1, I believe, that is hosted in the spring, where we honor a WCL alum for their work in trade or international investment. And it's a great opportunity to meet, you know, any number of practitioners in the field and to, you know, get a sense of what's available in D.C. I know our current president actually got his summer internship after 1L through that Distinguished Alumni Dinner with the USITC, which is the International Trade Commission. So we like to offer as many opportunities as we can. If you're interested, you can add us as a course on TWIN. And that is the International Trade and Investment Law Society. So if you have any questions, I'll stick around after. Feel free to ask.
So is that the only way they can join is through TWIN? They would add it on TWIN?
You can add it onto TWIN, or you can email myitils@gmail.com. That's the other way, and then you'll just be added to TWIN that way. So that's our secretary manager. Thank you.
So next I want to go to April Sutton, who is, as Cameron said, the president of, the EIC of BLR, but also the president,
yeah, president
of JD MBA Society, which is so interesting.
Yeah, so JD MBA Society, generally every year, at some point, whether in the first year or second year, and even in this case, 3L year, had, you know, usually students start considering, well, maybe I can get an MBA as well with the JD. The way the program is set up is you can actually get an MBA in one extra semester beyond, similar to the MA program. Basically, a lot has changed. We sort of serve as sort of the liaison between the law school and the business school, and just keeping lines of communication open, particularly concerning class schedules, which is changing a lot. So if any of you are interested in possibly getting an MBA, I do recommend talking to one of us. I'm the president. John Monterubio is here. He'll be talking about another society that he's starting up. But if you're interested in possibly getting an MBA, or if you're interested, you're thinking that you like, you know, business law, but you're thinking about maybe not necessarily practicing law and taking, you know, the law degree and going into, you know, something in-house or more business, definitely join us and come and talk to one of us, because we have connections over at the business school where a lot of employers come through for recruiting and things like that, if you're interested in possibly getting in touch with them. But essentially, we're hoping to launch our website hopefully in the next month or so, putting up requirements for the MBA program and what you'd need to do to start that process. Also, our faculty advisor here is Professor Perry Wallace, who's not here yet, but he's our faculty advisor on this side, and Professor Jay Pope over at the business school. We're hoping to put on a symposium, sort of a talk, and bring in a few practitioners of people who've graduated from WCL who have a JD MBA and what, you know, they're doing now that they're out in the world. Many of them are working for the SEC or have worked for Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or CFTC and things like that. So that's what a lot of people with the JD MBAs who we're still in contact with from here have gone on to do. So if you're interested, just be on the lookout for us, probably putting on a small meeting or symposium later on this semester.
Is there an email that they can send something to?
Trying to think. We're changing the website. Do you remember?
It's jdmba.american. I'll look it up.
Jdmba. I know it. I was just going to ask
you.
It's jdmba.american@gmail.com. Okay. Thank you. So I guess since Professor Wallace isn't here yet, I will... Actually, John, why don't you speak about the new Transactional Law Society?
Hey everybody, my name again is John Monterubio, and I recently just founded with Shanila Ali our newest organization, the Transactional Law Society. I'm also a JD MBA student, and I would highly recommend the MBA, especially if you are interested in pursuing a career in transactional law. For those of you guys who aren't too familiar with transactional law, it's the area of law that's focused on preventive law. Transactional lawyers structure relationships, they write contracts, create business transactions, and the goal of a transactional lawyer is to prevent any litigation from arising in the future. If you're not really too interested in litigation, but you're very interested in business, I would highly recommend transactional law. One of the things that I really like about transactional law is that it provides a lot of room for creativity. A transactional lawyer, when structuring a business deal, has to work with negotiate with the other side of the deal and find a win-win solution to the deal, and sometimes that requires them to think outside of the box and come out with solutions to issues that are present to them, present to this particular deal. So the club just started. One of our goals is to establish a transactional law program within the business law program. We're going to compile a list of all the transactional law focused courses here and also help facilitate development of new courses at WCL and put that together into a program. We want the program to be interdisciplinary, so it could possibly include classes at COGOD as well, because a transactional lawyer needs to understand more than just the law. They need to have a very strong understanding of business. That's the reason why I also recommend the MBA with it. Another goal for the club is to assemble WCL teams to compete in transactional law competitions and negotiation competitions. In fact, Neela and I and the other founder, Kevin, are going to a competition this Friday where we're going to compete against teams from other schools and negotiate a business deal, and then we get rated sort of just like a mock trial for transactional law. And we're looking to for 1Ls who are interested in, so we can have them compete in the same competition next year. And we're also going to be looking for other competitions that we can compete in as well. So if you have any questions or you're interested in getting involved, we're still in the process of setting up our website and getting things rolling. But our email is tls.wcl@gmail.com. Thanks.
So there's just one more organization that couldn't be here. Business Law Society, we also have at WCL, and they generally do just sort of general business law events, like networking receptions. Last year they had a Business Law Awareness Week where they did events for 5 days on just different hot topics, career panels they'll do sometimes, and occasionally the Business Law program will co-sponsor something with them, or they'll co-sponsor something with Career Services where they bring in a lot of practitioners so that you can meet them and speak with them. Their president is Louise Ryder, she was supposed to be here today, but her car broke down. So if you wanted to get in touch with them, they have a website through the WCL system, and it's just wcl.american.edu/org/BLS. And if you go to that site, you can click on how to join, and they have a link that if you click the link, it automatically adds you to their listserv. And that's the best way I know, or you can email. They also have their email information on that website as well. So, OK. Okay. So I guess we'll open it up for questions until, or do you want to?
Why don't we take questions while y'all are gathering your thoughts? I'll just mention that I had hoped that, I still think Professor Wallace may be here, but aside from that, I had hoped that Professor Alai would be here to talk about international trade. International trade is another area where we're especially strong. We had a trade program last year, and I was sort of wondering who would show up, and it was an amazing constellation of people, including, you know, you sort of think about who would be the top people who could show up, and like the United States Trade Representative, people like that show up. Along with all kinds of other people. So Mr. Chong, I think, was there as well. Tremendous networking opportunities. And as it happens, a student came by 2 weeks ago and told me somebody he met at that dinner got him a job, which... A good job. So there's a lot of that sort of stuff going on. There's a lot of career stuff that some of it we do. We've actually ratcheted back on it because we found out, sort of interestingly enough, that if we do too much, y'all don't come. And it's really embarrassing if we bring in people and then y'all don't come. But the flip side of that, what makes me really excited is to have the students say, this is what we want, forming new societies, reviving old societies, growing current societies, student organizations. You can drive it. And one of the things you'll find out is if you want practitioners, we've got alumni who would love to be here. We've got prominent people who will come. We have regular people who will come. We have people who graduated a year or two ago who are just like you, and think, oh, good, I can actually talk to this person, and will be a resource for you. So there's a lot there. I want to mention Professor Anderson is in the back row. He does corporate finance, has a deep background in tax stuff.